For those of you who'd like access to this content, follow the link in the description box, visit our Patreon page, and subscribe to the Black Kluge tier. For a mere $5 a month, you get access to the alternate Sunday episodes you've been missing, only available on Patreon, as well as the weekly Tuesday episodes. But wait, there's more. If you subscribe to the Black Kluge tier, you'll also get 2 weeks advance notice to our Thursday sessions. And if you needed any more incentive, when we have bonus episodes, Patreon is the place where you're going to find them. Also, don't forget to check out TeePublic for our great swag. The link is also in the aforementioned description.
I have zero inbox. Do you know that? We do another contract here. Let's do a 3-hour show. We should be done right now.
Well, you're having this negotiation with me. That's the only problem.
Well, who am I supposed to negotiate with? Fred?
And the one thing I don't respond well to is humiliation. I don't respond well to it at all. You know, I don't want to be told what a shithead I am. I don't want to be, you know, those days are over. I've suffered enough in this business. I don't need to find out what a shithead I am.
Are you ready for this?
Cut your hair, man. What do you do? What's going on?
I'm getting old.
So what?
I can't keep it like yours.
You know, I'm old too, so what?
Yeah, but you're ugly.
Thanks.
Jesus.
What are you saying? I need the hair?
You need it.
No,
you need it.
You know, it's just interesting when people have their kids on the air.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if a kid was a fuck-up, you just keep them quiet.
I put my kids on the air more, but they want no part of it.
When you're trying to just have a friendly conversation, when he's irritable, the things you do every day become the wrong thing to do.
That's true.
He doesn't listen.
That's right.
But the most irritating thing of all is that we used to be good friends and we just aren't anymore. I still love him, but he says everybody's expendable and I just have to live with that.
I was going
to
look for a Nikki Hilton. But you see, those good-looking rich girls, they don't go for a guy like me because they don't need my money.
And Rickles tells me this story. So Beth says to Don Rickles, gee, I wonder what they say about me.
Don Rickles goes, you.
No one cares about you. You're not even that important.
No one says anything about you.
No one. No one talks about you.
I don't even know you.
You're not that big.
I do have to ask, do you think there's a physical match between him and Beth?
Do you? Because they're both tall and have 10 fingers.
Yeah, they look right together.
I don't know, they look more right together now.
Or was this on the regular show?
It just occurred to me, and I must have been.
It dawned on me like 2 days ago. My hair's going to get crazy because.
Yeah.
I don't have, I'm not going to get a haircut. And then Beth goes, I'll cut your hair. But you can't cut my hair because my hair is curly.
It's hard to cut your hair.
Welcome, everybody, to QF, a podcast about Howard Stern. I'm your host, Fillmore, a.k.a. Jim Fix. And with me, as always, is the mistress of... the mistress of mayhem, Sam. How are you, darling?
Mistress of F word. I'm great. I'm really excited about this episode tonight.
Yeah, I don't have a title, guys. It's a working title. This is actually not a makeup episode, but we had a session that was aborted this week due to personal circumstances. And then I was supposed to record on Thursday, and that didn't get to happen, even though I recorded with Len, and I have to get a little caught up as well. So Sam was gracious enough to switch a day and try to get something done for next week or the week after, actually, the Sunday show. And this is it. And we're going to cover Norm coming in from September 25th, 2008. And it's one of my favorite appearances because he's always in rare form. He's always in good form, but you know, those serious episodes were especially good, so we're gonna let it go as much as we can.
Norm McDonald, it's my first time doing Howard's show on Sirius. I go back to the terrestrial days, but I'm looking forward to it because you can say the H word.
You need that for your repertoire?
Yeah.
All right, man. Good luck.
H-E double hockey sticks.
No, you can just go ahead and say it.
I know. You can say it right. Can I say it right out?
Go for it.
Hell.
All right.
Looking forward to saying hi to Norm. Norm McDonald.
There's Norm. Hey, Norm. Long time no see. Good to see you.
You too, baby.
Hey, man.
Hey, Norm. Hey, it's good to see you. Here, wait, let me put on my jacket.
You know what? Norm wasn't much of a potty mouth. Not that now that I'm thinking about it, it was like not really a part of his repertoire. It was like he swore when he did impressions of somebody, like of people that, you know, sportscasters or whatever. But he himself wasn't really a big filthy potty mouth.
Not in his jokes. Not when he had fully like formed bits that he was going to do. When he was talking casually, I think he didn't care one way or the other. And in this one, right, he can feel rude. When he's comfortable, I think he swore pretty frequently. But if you saw it, and he was always capable of turning it off. Did you ever notice that there's some comics that like Dice has a hard time keeping himself from swearing? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
And not that I have a problem with that. I mean, but you learn, we talked about the swear jar, that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. that kind of idea. Do you find you being Miss Potty Mouth of QF? Do you find it's tough to hold it back, but at work? No.
I don't really swear at work. No, but if I'm in a prolonged conversation with somebody, I'm sure the F word flies out of my mouth at some point and I don't realize it.
Was it always that way for you?
Yeah.
So,
well, I think once my parents kind of gave up on disciplining us for swearing at some point, I don't know what age we were, but I think they just called it a lost cause.
Yeah.
And once that stopped, like the reprimanding stopped, you know, I just let it fly.
Yeah, with my parents, Greek swearing was fine, but swearing in English was kind of verboten. But even both was not good. Like especially around mom. But my dad was like, he didn't care, and he used it just as no one swore better than my dad. The way he would put phrases together in Greek is unbelievable. Anyway,
jacket for this big interview.
Oh really? You have to put on a jacket?
Well, Norm is wearing a jacket, and I'm going to wear a jacket.
Oh, I see.
That's what I'm going to do.
Just asked me where I got this jacket.
What was that?
Yeah, put on his microphone.
Was in there a mic?
Oh God! Yeah. I wish Howard would put on a fucking jacket. That just
I know it.
That just fucking ruined my day.
With like, the fruity tattoo.
Oh. That arm, I just like, oh God, it was like a reflex when I saw it.
Yeah.
Mike, now you're on. I'm sorry.
Where is the mic?
It's on your headphones.
It's on your headset.
Oh, it is?
How's that?
On my cans?
On your cans. You've got great cans.
It's like Howard Cosell.
Hey, listen.
Yes.
Artie was just asking me where I got this jacket, and it just occurred to me, you gave me this motherfucker.
Did I? For what occasion?
I asked you if I could have it.
Is that a Howard Stern jacket?
No, it's called Lugs. L-U-G-Z.
Yeah. That's right. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Hey, you like that jacket. You want another one? Is that what you're looking for?
Is that why you're here?
Norm, I got to ask you.
I sit down. I can't see Artie.
Sit down. Artie
that's
doesn't
why he does that.
Norm, where have you been? That's the main question everyone wants me to ask.
Are you still working?
Yeah.
No.
He's in movie jail.
I can't tell you how many conversations I've had. You know I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with various people, friends and things like that, who are fans as well.
Uh-huh.
And we go, like, whatever happened to Norm? Like, Norm's just kind of like, you kind of went off.
Yeah.
After your divorce, maybe that's what triggered it or whatever. And you,
he had a couple of TV shows. You knew where he was then.
You had the Norm show. You had the movie you did with Artie.
Yeah.
Everything with Artie. But it was almost like you went off and became an actuary or something. Like
what's that word?
Yeah, did you change careers?
What's an actuary?
The guy who does the tables on life expectancy for the insurance companies.
Yeah, you couldn't be more wrong.
Did you retire?
I love his bluntness. There's just something about the way he throws things out there. It's just fantastic.
Well, the one episode of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee that I can watch anytime is the Norm episode, because he's got Jerry in the palm of his hand. And it's like when they say that expression, the comedian's comedian, it most definitely was Gilbert. It most definitely was Norm Macdonald, because they had such respect and reverence for him that they might say, oh, you know, George Carlin or Pryor, that they were the greats, or somebody like Rickles or Sam Kinison. But when it came to someone, I guess, more of a contemporary, it would always be, you know, Norm.
Yeah. You know, there is some sort of unspoken comedians, like you could say ethics. I don't know how else to put it.
Whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of the newer ones, I don't know if they necessarily follow that anymore as well. But
I don't think so.
Yeah, I know. So, but Norm did, though. It's almost, it's different than a showbiz sort of ethics, comedian's ethics. I noticed that. But Norm, whatever that is, that unspoken sort of code of conduct, if you will, he was that all the time. Like, he never swayed from that.
Well, no, it's, and it, he, the other thing was, it was, he was so unique in what he did. You couldn't rip him off. Like, you couldn't
you could say
a Norm Macdonald joke, but it still wouldn't get as many laughs as when he did it.
Yeah. You, there's people who can do impressions of him or his tone of voice or whatever, but you can't really repeat a Norm Macdonald ever. I mean, there's just not possible to rip him off. He's too unique.
Right.
Or did you retire? Did you think of getting out of the business?
When I was the actuary business?
No, really. What happened to you? Where have you been?
What do you mean, really? You fucking brought up actuary.
No, it's like you're hiding.
And then you're acting like I brought it up.
Why would you bring up a word no one knows what it is?
Yeah, exactly. Why would you?
Why'd you do that?
You did that.
Oh, I did that?
You just said actuary.
I didn't do that. I would never do that. I always relate to the people.
Everything.
No, but Norm, please don't bring up the word actuary.
So what?
He's
so
the
why
one
he,
who brought it up.
Why are you gaslighting everybody? You're the one that said it, asshole.
Yeah. Why did he just do that? I thought he was kidding at first. He's like, why would you bring up a word nobody knows? He didn't. You did.
Right.
I want to know what
Edward G. Robinson in Double Indemnity was an actuary.
An actuary.
Isn't that right, Artie?
Listen to me, Norm. Yeah. Artie's eating, please.
Yeah, don't interrupt.
Interrupt. This is his time to eat. Would you say that you did take a sort of a look at your career and just said, hey, I want to back off for a while? And just
are you
find...
reinventing yourself?
Yeah. What's going on, really?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm doing what I always do. I do what I always
you
did.
You do
I
your stand-up. Right. Yeah. But I mean, you stopped doing like Letterman. I didn't see you anywhere for a while.
Well, if I'm in New York, but I'm never in New York.
So
where... I just do stand-up, right?
Right.
And then sometimes they'll offer me stuff that I'm no good at.
Right.
And then I do that.
Right. All right.
Like that. Anytime he's got like some project that bombs and he just doesn't give a fuck. Like, you know how like celebs probably are hanging by that next project, or they're like, this can't bomb. You know, if this does it, then I won't get another offer for whatever. And Norm was like, I've always got stand up.
Yeah, and he never cared if anything bombed. At least he didn't seem to care. And I liked it, too, because it's when something bombs, you ever notice, like, celebrities and even comedians, they'll kind of dress it up as – they'll blame it on other circumstances or some flowery language for why it didn't work to try to not make it seem as dire as it really was.
Yeah,
exactly. Norm could give a fuck.
Yeah. No, he's just fearless that way.
Right, so you're out there. You say you are doing
Then I go
thing.
Back to doing my stand-up.
You know, Gary told me he had a conversation with you in the green room.
Yeah, we had a fucking good one.
Let me see if I can recreate some of that, because it sounded interesting to me. He said that you guys started a conversation about some of the guys you did Saturday Night Live with. Spade.
Yeah.
Sandler.
Yeah.
Chris Rock, these kind of guys.
Right.
Are you still in touch with them? And you said, yeah, I'm friendly with them.
Yeah, yeah.
But you feel like you can't pick up the phone and call them.
No, yeah. No, there's an interesting dynamic that happens when a guy becomes way more successful and powerful than you are.
Right.
Which is, I don't want to phone. I love Sandler. I talk to him a lot, but I try to limit it because he gets bugged a lot, you know? He gets
people want things from him.
Yeah, people want things from him, so I don't want anything from him. But when I'm talking to him, I feel like he might think I want something from him or something like that.
Right. You're so aware of others' feelings.
Now you're killing him. What the hell are you doing?
Yes, I know he's going to slam me when he says some shit like that.
It's Howard trying to play psychologist, and Norm is just not doing it. Like, he's not going to play along with these newfound, I'm a psychological interviewer, like, all of a sudden, where he's trying to be deep, and Norm just is not...
No,
not going to fall for that trap of horse
shit. No, but the other thing, he knows Howard's full of shit when he starts talking like this. He knows that the real Howard is a gutter snipe piece of shit, and that he wants to know about who he fucked and all this bullshit. It's like celeb stuff, but it's not necessarily, you know, any deeper than your navel.
It really isn't. Norm, probably, like you just said, it's as simple as, I know this guy is really successful and he probably gets bugged a lot and I just don't want to bug him. End of story.
Yeah.
Norm, you just snotted all over yourself.
Yeah. I can fucking see that one coming. He's a motherfucker.
In other words, you're so in tune.
That's not what I'm saying.
You, yes, yes. You're bragging, aren't you? Now, you're saying...
Now, Norm, if there's one thing about Norm is he's very in touch with other people's feelings.
Norm, I've never seen a reaction like that in here.
Norm, what you're saying... You know, you just vomited on yourself, and you blew snot out of your nose. Norm.
There goes that mic.
What I'm trying to say is, you worry that you'll not be perceived the right way. In other words, you're concerned that you don't want to call up Sandler and say, hey, how you doing? Because he's going to think you want something from him.
I have a very good friendship with Adam, so right. I don't want to affect that friendship badly
right.
by giving the... what do they call it, like politicians, the perception of impropriety.
Right.
So as if I'm looking for something. So Fact is, I don't give a fuck if I'm ever in a movie ever.
You don't care about the movies. You did your movie. When you got out of Saturday Night Live, you did the movie Dirty Work. That experience didn't turn you on at all?
I love Dirty Work.
You love doing that.
I think that was a great fucking movie.
Right. So you...
What do you mean, right? Why say red? I thought you didn't like it.
You know, I never saw it.
That made me fucking... I was astonished when he said that. I never saw it. Artie, the guy that's in the film, is working with you all the time. And Norm, who you claim to love. And that film was literally 10 years earlier it was released. And in all that time, you've never seen it.
And the part of this that kills me, too, is that they've discussed it so many times.
Yes.
The filming of it. The different people who've come on the show who were also in the movie. I mean... Artie's talked about it in numerous anecdotes. I can't believe he just sat back there that whole time and it never occurred to, and I can't believe he just flatly admitted he never, you know, I never saw it. Why? Too many Bachelor episodes to watch? I mean, what the fuck?
Well, it's what it really shows, and more than anything, is a complete lack of curiosity about anything of, you know, anything comedic, anything of, you know, something that might help him in an interview. Like, this is, you know, you watch Dirty Work, you're going to see Chevy Chase in there, you see Rickles, you see Jack Warden, you're going to see, Jack Warden was on the TV show, you're going to see Chris Farley, you're going to be able to talk about all these people he got to work with him on that show. I think even Sandler made an appearance in the film, I can't remember.
Isn't it weird, though, that besides this point where he said he's never seen it, I always got the impression prior to this that he saw it. I mean, he never gave the impression otherwise.
Well, that was it. And then so he brings it up like as knowingly, and for him to just blurt that out also just – it's a lack of disrespect because, you know, I would at the very least, if Artie's there on the show and if I thought it was a bad film, I'd watch it so I could goof on it.
It's incredible that he's talked about it so many times as if he's watched that movie before, but flat out, oh, you know what? I never saw it.
Yeah. 10 years later, still haven't seen it. Not on a rainy night. Didn't have a chance to fucking see it. I was too busy. Yeah, like you said, watching Bachelor in Paradise.
Dawson's Creek reruns.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about? I'm saying
that you love the experience. Why don't you do it again?
Well, because nobody...
It's hard to take a guy seriously after you see boogers flying out of
his nose.
No, not anymore. You're fine.
You cleaned up okay.
So you're going to show that in slow motion?
I love it.
It'll be animated.
Yeah. So I understand what you're saying, that there are certain guys. Are there guys who call you all the time and bug you? Are there people who want things from you because you are at the top of the comedy community?
I'm not at the top of the comedy community at all.
How long is your set when you go out and do a show? Now like Chris Rock, he was in here yesterday. He says, I'm going to see the Norm Macdonald show on Saturday night. And Caroline's, he's making a whole night of it. Right. He can't wait to go. Will that make you nervous to know that Chris is in the audience?
No.
That doesn't. You're so seasoned at this thing, you know what to do.
Nah, I just don't give a fuck. Like, I don't care. I don't care if I bomb or killed. Nothing matters to me.
It doesn't matter to you? But this is your career. This is the chosen path you've gone down. What do you mean it doesn't matter to you? Of course it matters.
How could it not matter?
You love when you do well on stage.
No, I don't. Who told you that?
You don't. What, don't you care that when you do a show that people are into it?
No, I couldn't give a fuck.
Are you serious?
This, by the way, this... the way he's playing Howard in a way, it's actually more revealing for Howard's end, because this is how Howard feels about every Letterman appearance, about everything he does. Like, yeah. Did I do well? This is more revealing of his insecurities. He's projecting them onto Norm, who genuinely doesn't give a fuck.
Right. And Howard will, of course, make, psychologically at least, any excuse he can to justify, like, why something might not have worked, but it won't be because of anything he did.
Right. Yes. Right. Yeah.
And if it was successful, then it was all him. Right.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. Like, if you birth a retard, that's someone else's child. But if of the course. Kid's got all five, you know, all 10 fingers and toes, then it's my child, which I'll ignore. So,
yes,
I can actually attest to that. When I used to open for him, and if it didn't go well,
isn't that a defense mechanism, my friends?
Well, he thinks it's funnier if they don't laugh.
If it's bombs, I think it's pretty fucking funny.
You like to bomb.
I don't like to. I'm saying it's funny.
When do you bomb? What happens? You mean you're
let's put it to you this way, right? You go in front of a group of people and try to make them laugh.
Right.
Try your hardest to make them laugh.
Right.
And then they don't laugh. That's funny.
You're not doing the specific thing you're there to do.
Exactly. Not only that, but it's also funny that you go there to make them laugh. You're trying to make their life better. You're failing, so they hate your fucking guts.
And you see the humor in that.
I see humor in that. Like, it's not like you're up there trying to make them not laugh. You're trying to do your best to please them.
But don't you stay...
It's like if you told a joke to your dad and he kicked you.
But don't you stay at home a certain amount of hours a day and write and come up with this material that you do on stage? I mean, you put time and effort into it. You don't? It's the same act from 100 years ago?
No, I do. No, I have... I think I have about 8 hours of material.
8 hours of material. So you're always writing new material.
Well, I thought you meant write on a piece of paper.
I don't know. How do you? What's the process when you make it?
You think it up in your head, and then you say.
Is that
it written?
You're right. It's by letting Howard kind of fill this time up, which is, it's actually one of those times you hear nerves in Howard's voice.
Well, he's not. Howard already in his head is pre-planning what Norm is going to say in response. Mm-hmm. He does it all the time, which makes him not listen to actual responses because he's already developed the conversation in his head and kind of prompting what Norm is going to say. And so when Norm keeps throwing these loops, which aren't really loops because it's a conversation, how are you going to know how Norm is going to respond? But Howard's so fucking arrogant. And so it just reveals him more and more in this conversation.
Yeah.
If you're afraid you're going to forget it, you put it on a napkin, you put like Brezhnev or whatever.
No, but let's say you have a great joke. You're a big McCain guy, right? So like, let's say you have a joke about
I'm
Obama.
A big McCain guy.
I heard you were supporting John McCain.
Jesus, where the fuck do you get your information?
Is that wrong?
Steve Langford?
Yes.
That's something Howard literally just thought of right then and there for the sake of whatever. That was not on a piece of paper. That was not something that he had like a long debate, like is Norm political? Because Norm threw... you know, a former political figure, he's going to decide, let's say, what does he think about, you know, George W. Bush or whatever the fuck. And so this is why it never works when Howard's on the fly. Yeah.
Never.
No.
But are you not supporting John McCain? Are you an Obama guy? Is that what's going on?
Well, I'm afraid of this Sarah Palin lady.
You don't like her?
No, sir.
That why don't you like her? I would think you
fundamentalist Christian.
That scares the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Yet you're a pro-life guy. You're way into all that kind of stuff.
When did he get to be pro-life?
I know this about
him. Whatever. Yeah.
I thought on Bill O'Reilly you said that you support McCain.
I said I agree with him on pro-life.
You do. You agree with him on pro-life. But you're not a McCain supporter.
No, right now, if I had to vote tomorrow,
and
I had American citizenship.
Yeah, that's right. You're not even American. Why am I bothering? Yeah, right. But no one knows
I would vote for Obama.
You would. You like him.
I don't like anybody. I don't like any of them. But
are you an angry man?
No.
What?
I don't like.
He's going after every single. It's you, again. It's Howard drowning on the ocean and reaching for anything he can. That's why some of these interviews like this with Norm, who's too slippery. It's fascinating because Howard's the one really in the hot seat, not Norm.
Well, it kind of reminds me of the Wendy Williams interview where he's throwing out insulting questions or he's having assumptions. And when Wendy doesn't answer things the way he thinks she's supposed to answer, and then he gaslights her the rest of the interview by projecting things like, you're an angry person. Why are you being like this? You're this, you're that, you know,
right?
Just like now you're are you an angry man? No, Howard, you just assumed I'm voting for somebody when I never said anything about voting for somebody. And you're just supposing that I care about any of this shit that you're flying in my face. I don't.
Right, because he probably did zero prep anyway. And in fact, there's only one thing he really wants to talk about to Norm about, and it's later on in the interview. This is all just padding for that one question, because what happened was, in the interim, there's the clip of Norm talking about, he's on the Adam Carolla show, and he talked about Artie and, you know, how he thought the show was enabling Artie.
Right.
And in fact, I should probably play that, but I will save that for another episode where we talk about how guests have taken it to him, and about we do, like, if we ever tackle the Artie addiction saga or something like that, it'll be something for, you know, for that. But yeah. so that's pre this, and then he had him in, and I knew, like, you could tell he was, what it is he's nervous leading up to it because he doesn't like confrontation, but he has to bring it up because Norm's in studio.
And inherently, he knows that Norm has a point.
Yes.
So even though he kind of tries to steamroll this and start getting angry with Norm in a way, it's he inherently knows Norm has a fucking point. And the audience, when they heard it, all of us kind of went, yeah, I can kind of see that.
Yeah.
I don't like politicians.
Do you like people? Are you a people person? Do you like to hang out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I
Normal go to the mall
and shoot people?
Go over to Orange Julius.
No, this is what I like to do.
Are you a recluse?
Yes.
You are?
I would say that.
Would you say
almost agoraphobic.
Really? Do you spend most of your day in the house?
Yeah.
Do you still have a tremendous gambling problem?
No.
You do not? What happened? What changed?
I stopped hanging around.
Now, as my son got...
Older.
Mm-hmm. I realized that really the worst part of gambling is not the money you lose, but the time.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're saying you wanted to spend more time with your son.
Yeah, because when I'm with my son, the time is so wonderful.
You know, great. Howard sees an actual parent who cares about their child and changes their behavior accordingly because they love their kid. Wow. Yeah. I bet that's a news flash for Howard. Changing behavior for your child. Ooh.
Thought crime, Norm. Thought crime.
How old was Norm's kid? I know, right? How old was Norm's kid when he passed away, I wonder?
Well, he passed away. I'd say he was... God, I'm going to say mid to late 20s, maybe a little older than that, but I'm going to say like 29.
Still really young to lose a parent at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yep, absolutely.
Is it wonderful?
It's beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, you're able to give to your son?
Am I able to?
What do you do with your son?
I play with him.
You do. How old is he now?
How old is this young man?
He's 15 years old.
15 years old.
You're still playing with him.
Right.
You know, it's a funny thing.
So if he's 15 in 2008, so add another 10 years, 25. When did he pass away, Norm? 2022?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, 2022. So like, so 2008 from 2022. So yeah, 29. I think I'm about right. Yeah, just about 30.
That's still young.
Yeah, too young.
Yeah.
When he was a very young boy, you know, when he was like 3, 4, something like that, I would play games with him, you know, like we'd play basketball or something.
Sure.
And I'd let him win.
Right.
You know, and now he can beat me at everything. And so he's like, hey, man, I always beat you at everything. I said, no, fuck, I used to let you win. You go, fuck, he doesn't believe it.
He always beat you.
Yeah, so he just thinks I'm some retard that can't beat a fucking infant.
He's a tall kid.
Yeah,
he's playing basketball.
He's playing b-ball, baby. It'd be good to have him out there with Artie shooting, see how he does.
You're not playing poker at all? You're not playing, because you love to play high-stakes poker?
You play the friendly games, right?
Come on.
I try not to.
Really?
I still play a little poker, I have to admit, but...
Did you go to therapy for this? I mean, was there some sort of...
No, what do you think? I don't do that shit.
You don't need to do...
Yes. Did you go to therapy? What about you? So great.
Yeah. And it's ironic because the last, bringing up his kid and talking about, is it beautiful? Like not acting as if he doesn't have three fucking children of his own, Stern. But I was listening to a bunch of channels that had already pre-curated Allison Howard clips because I'm preparing like for some future episodes. And the treatment of Allison through some of those calls, like most of those calls. And then her talking about this, how the kids were crying and upset that, you know, how he was treating them. And he goes, you turned them against me. And she said, no, they see how you act around me. And that's what, that's the reaction. And I'm thinking, wow, like,
it had to be a fucking nightmare.
Yeah. And so Len and I were talking about, you know, how much Allison must have gotten the divorce. And I said, I guarantee half of the money. All the cars, the Long Island house, which she probably sold, and full custody of the kids. Full custody.
With no with no fight.
And no...
Just gladly.
Mr. Stern, do you contest this court's findings, you know, or whatever, you know, he's like, what children?
You know, and when you listen back to all those conversations about his domestic life back in the day when he was still married to Allison and had the three kids in the house and he was living with them or whatever, you just think about all the concern he had for nobody else except for his world, his life, his day, his things.
Yep.
None of it ever was like, I'm worried about this going on in Emily's life, that going on in Deborah's life, Ashley, my wife, my this, they have this going on, that going on. It was all about how do I get out of this to do my thing? It's all about him all the time.
Yeah. Like where there's one where he said they had a conversation where Allison wanted a new car with 4-wheel drive for the winter. When she needed to get out there and drive with the kids and with the housekeeper and to go grocery shopping, let's say. And he's like, we already have to take my Jeep, which, you know, the battery doesn't work, meaning he has a Jeep that he doesn't drive. So the battery fucking whatever drained and it's been idle. Basically, he thought he'd be like Daisy Duke in the fucking Dixie, you know, like constantly like looking at this Jeep. You know what I mean?
That's strange in itself. But again, you put the battery in, you figure it out. Could you imagine if it was the other thing and he needed something? Like, God forbid, when Ronnie had to fix something in the limo and he was flipping out or where's my glasses, whatever. Right. It was done that second, that instant.
But he's like, call Wayne Siegel and get his help.
Right.
She goes, we need to be here on this decision. And he's like, no, I don't need it. What do you need? Get whatever you want. And then he's complaining about how much it was going to cost and then said, oh, well, why don't you get a job and pay for it?
Oof. I hate him.
Oh, if when I play it, you're going to be a misogynist. You're going to be like you're going to be hating men.
I'll just specifically leave it to hating him. Don't worry. Yeah.
Okay.
Do any of that. You won't talk to anyone, right? You're above that.
I don't do that.
You're too good for that shit, right, man? Right?
Why do you keep putting the phrase in that way?
What do you mean? What do you say?
I said I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
To... I'll tell you what, this is what happened to me with a psychiatrist once. I think this is why I don't do it anymore.
You did go to a psychiatrist.
When I was a young man, I was like 17 or trouble kid, and they sent me to a psychiatrist.
Right.
And I talked to the guy, and I talked to him twice, right?
Right.
Next week, he fucking commits suicide.
Is that true?
So it's in the paper that I'm reading about. The guy's the worst fucking life ever. Like a coke and a gang. You know, I mean, I shouldn't say the worst, but, you know, just the worst fucking life. And I felt so bad because here I am yammering to him on his last week of life about, I got my mother.
You know, so. You were labeled as a troubled child?
You know, that story Howard used to tell about Mike Piano teacher killed himself or whatever. Yeah. And which, you know, if I was Howard's teacher, I might consider a strong support beam and a rope as well. But any kind of tutor, you know, his photography tutor, who turned out to be a complete scumbag, by the way. No surprise there.
And apparently didn't tutor him very well because we've all seen those calendars.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. The snow angels, the video. You know, like that was okay. Kind of fun. Funny when you heard it the first time and the second time, but when Norm's coming up with a full story, when he's feeling bad for going to a therapist and they kill themselves, and you think it might be because of you.
That's so funny.
Is that true?
That was a bit troubling.
What behaviors led to them labeling you? What were you doing?
What
behaviors led to them labeling you a troubled child? I mean, something must have happened to commit you to a psychiatrist.
Well, it's
albeit a bad one, but nevertheless.
It all happened in Canada, you know.
Canada.
You can't talk about it because it happened in Canada.
No, I'm saying.
You know what happens in Canada stays in Canada. But seriously, what led to?
Hey, you want to hear a joke from my act?
Yes. I do.
He must have done something really bad.
No, it's about that whatever happened in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Go ahead. Yeah, I want to hear
that. That fucking whatever happened in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that.
So actually, it doesn't really stay. Like, you can't. It's not like you can kill a person and then leave Vegas and everything's cool. You know. Right. So what I did was I looked at that phrase. What it actually means is basically you can go to Vegas, fuck a prostitute, and then she will not tell your wife.
Right. That's exactly
what they're saying.
You're saying
not like those gossipy small town whores.
You're saying
back to where you come from. I'm saying back at home, they're blabbermouths.
You're saying in other words,
they're sitting in the beauty parlor going, "Oh, you're married to Hank Johnson? I fucking shit on his face last night."
In other words.
I just love him. I just love this concept.
You never got to see him live, did you?
No.
Oh.
I didn't even realize how sick he was. Like, that was one where, you know, because he kind of kept his illness private. I mean, I knew he looked bloated and puffy in different appearances he did, like, at the last year of his life. Like, yeah. I remember thinking, wow, Norm looks different, you know?
Yeah, and most
not
likely
in a healthy
steroids.
Way. Yeah. But... yeah, but now it made sense. But I didn't know what he was battling. I just knew he didn't look right.
I guess also he didn't tour quite as prolifically as other comics did and do.
Well, I imagine it was probably hard, especially at the
end,
illness. Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
Small world.
There are certain people who literally think they could go to Vegas and do anything they want and it will stay in Vegas. And they're completely wrong.
Of course.
And they should be more literal in the translation of what's happens.
Yes,
in Vegas,
they should
thanks
say.
For
yeah.
Some people stomping all over. Thanks for stomping all over that bit, Mr. Overexplanation. What are we, retarded? I mean, that was as simple of a concept you could get. And he has to explain this right now
nerves. It's straight nerves
totally.
Because before he gets to that question about Artie, he's just biding time.
It is biding time. And so let's go into over-explaining the easiest concept of a joke that's ever existed.
Well, guys like him, he needs the Lego instructions to every joke.
God, how did you
they
do
don't
that?
Get it.
They don't know.
No. You're saying the slogan should be, if you fuck a whore in Vegas, your wife won't find out. That's it.
Right. Okay, they're very discreet. It.
I like that act. That's what you're going to be doing at Caroline's? I would go see that.
That's a joke.
I like that joke.
But why
like
were you labeled a troubled child?
Yeah. What happened that specifically sent you to the psychiatrist?
Oh, no, nah, everybody goes, you go.
No, when I was 17, they didn't send me to a psychiatrist. My father looked at me, raised his fist and said, here's your psychiatrist.
I don't believe that for one second.
No. I'm sure they wanted to put him in conversion therapy at some point.
Well, he definitely tried to. I'd say 100% he tried it, or they maybe even did, actually. Like, Ray might have pushed for that.
I mean, he was a weird child, to say the least. And, you know, I feel like they did their own sort of home therapy with him without him realizing what it was, with like the Playboy magazines and
the
outings with friends. Like, I always thought it was weird that Ray would pick up children like in the neighborhood as friends and drive them to school, kind of. And I was like, maybe she was just trying to get him to make friends without realizing it.
I think that was part of it, but also and also, you know, if carpooling is what's necessary to ingratiate yourself with other people, you do it and maybe help him socialize. I think it's a very good point. The other thing was maybe wanting to spend time with the kids to see if a bunch of them are the Finooks as well, to make sure, you know, like, you know, see if her gaydar goes off. But I do think that at the very most, it would be more along the lines of, you don't need any fucking therapy, just shut up and whatever, just do your homework and eat your dinner, whatever, you know. He doesn't need therapy, at least not like the regular kind of, you know, therapy.
I always thought it was strange too, considering the time. And even when I was growing up, I mean, I had a job at 15 and I started cleaning schools when I was 13. So during the summer. So I really was surprised at how little he worked as a teenager, like not until he got that summer camp, like fucking job washing dishes for a week or whatever.
Was he on that? Yeah.
I was surprised that his parents didn't make him work, like, especially during that time period of all kids worked and had summer jobs or jobs.
Well, that's the thing. Did they? Like, the generations changed so much. All my nieces and nephews, I don't even know. I don't think they started working until they were like later teens. I know that as soon as we were able to, we started getting jobs. I was 13, my first job, 14, you know, my second job,
same.
Like, you know, part, just very, very part time. And then like even seasonal. And then once I was 14, that's when I started permanent part-time basically for the next 10 years and then try to get as soon as I was able to work full-time I could, but and on various occasions more hours than, you know, I should have been getting and would have made me full-time and get union benefits, but that's a whole other story. They wouldn't allow it, fucking cunts.
I know how that goes.
Oh yeah, you know, like, oh, you mean you work 35 hours but you're not union? How'd you work that out? I get the total human right, total, like, union. I could easily have fucked them.
That is so common, though, that people just put you right towards the edge of being full time and then fuck you so that way you don't get paid vacations. You don't. I remember that so clearly. Like, you guys are such bastards.
Yep. Yep.
He was a good dad. You must have acted out in some way. Did you get arrested?
You've gone to psychiatrists.
Oh, I'm in there 4 days a week now.
What the fuck are you asking me? Why?
I'm asking you at 17, what led them to put you in you said you were a troubled child.
How old are you?
Right now, 54.
And you're going to a psychiatrist 4 days a week?
3 days now.
Three days a week.
Yeah.
I'm 17. I go one fucking time. I'm the guy that's fucked up.
I like how Howard lied just now, too, saying four. Now he's saying he gets the question redirected, and he goes, oh, actually, 3 days a week. I mean, this guy is such a fucking criminal liar. Just serial liar all the time.
It's why every time he's had a court case or whatever, like, I would so wish it had not, they had not been like sealed or whatever. We'd see the, at least transcripts or testimony or that Law and Crime Network. If that fucking Law and Crime Network was, I don't know, if something happens to him, if he gets murdered one day, I want to see the witness. I want to see it on Law and Crime Network.
So totally. I want the depositions from the CBS lawsuit. Like, if he had to get deposed, I want all of that. I want to see him shaking and panicking and shoddy eyes everywhere and fucking almost crying.
And the serious lawsuit, if only they didn't just leave it up for, if they went to open court with it, like and had a jury trial or something. God, that would have been just, there's no way he would have done that. And Buchwald would have advised against it, knowing that he's a liar and an asshole and then unlikable and then can't keep his story straight and a nerve bag on the stand. He wouldn't be able to tell the truth.
Well, look at this exchange. And this isn't even anything. And he can't keep his lies straight. He lied about the actuary comment. He lied about the times he's going to therapy. I mean, he can't do it. Could you imagine if the pressure was really on?
He lied about his father putting his father threatening him with violence about suggesting therapy. Like,
never happened.
No way.
All right, listen.
You got to give your head a shake.
Listen, I was shocked.
Hey, what do you think of that, man? I was thinking of using that as my
tagline.
For a comedy.
I like it.
Hey, give your head a shake.
Like the guy who says hamburger at the end.
You know?
There's
the funniest motherfucker ever.
There's a black guy. His entire act at the end, he goes, hamburger.
Just like that.
Yeah,
that's his line.
But it's funny.
It is funny.
So what is now your new line?
No matter what he says.
And what's your
new line? So you go, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Hamburger.
And at first you hate it, but like 5 minutes in, you're laughing your ass off.
You like it.
Wears a big cowboy hat.
Yeah, hamburger.
Do you?
He's got a lot of gimmicks going on at once.
You don't miss the movies. You don't miss Saturday Night Live.
We've just went over this.
Yeah. Yeah.
We just went over this. You fuck. He cannot, and he doesn't like that he can't know or predict where the conversation's going with Norm, because that's just how Norm's personality is. So it's all of his guards are up, and he doesn't know how to direct this energy where he doesn't know what's coming at him next. So
and I think it's more telling in this shot. Look at the position of the mic. Look at the position of the hair. His sunglasses. He wants to be in as deep fucking cover as he can for this interview. Why?
The hair's more over his face. He's more crouched too. Like, I mean, he always has horrible posture, but he's not relaxed. He looks crouched, yep. You know, and
like a defensive position for him.
Yeah. Like almost like a turtle.
Yeah,
very turtled. And he had the jacket off when he started. And so he's covering up more too.
Yep.
It's very,
we should be doing that body language show.
No shit. Well, yeah. And it's only Howard that we really, because we've been doing this for so long. I don't know if I'd necessarily notice this out of everybody, but because of our fucking weird amount of time we've spent doing this.
The master's degree program we've completed this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
I miss Saturday Night Live. You do?
Yeah. I love the Saturday
Night Chevy Live. Chase was in here recently. He didn't say it on my show, but I read it somewhere. He said the only guy who ever did the news right since I left was Norm MacDonald. Did you know that?
Really?
Did you know he said that?
Yeah, I heard that. Oh.
I like how Chevy Chase kind of looks like a Florida flasher in that fucking, you know, he's got the fucking hat on and the big sunglasses. He kind of looks creepy.
Well, I mean, yeah, that never changed. And no. Have you ever heard him in recent interviews? He definitely sounds, well, he sounds old as fuck. His memory is diminished, everything. He's probably not too far away from Alzheimer's himself, I'd say.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I like how he looks more dressed up here than he did to Howard's wedding.
Yeah, no kidding.
He wore a better outfit for that, jeans. for this whole fucking saga than he did for his own wedding.
Well, considering what Beth wore as the wedding dress, I'd say he dressed perfectly for the wedding.
I know. Talk about Vegas hooker.
Yeah.
Only guy who ever did the news right since I left was Norm MacDonald. Did you know that?
Really?
Did you know he said that?
Yeah, I heard that.
Oh, you did hear that? Yeah, I heard that. I heard you have that framed on your wall. Is that true?
No, it is not true.
Okay. You don't give a fuck what anyone says.
I was just watching a clip of Norm, now that OJ passed away.
Yes, of course.
We'll save that for another time. But I was watching a clip on YouTube. It was him, Dennis Leary, David Spade, when David Spade had a talk show. I don't know if he still does. I don't think he does.
He's got a podcast with Dana Carvey that he's doing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And it was, who else was on there? I forgot. But they were saying that OJ, they were talking about OJ jokes, and he wouldn't do the joke. Norm wouldn't do an OJ joke on stage for that time because he said, I won't talk badly about somebody because he just went to jail that day. He's like, now that, you know, he can't defend himself, he's in prison. Like, he was defending. So he just turned it all around and they were crying laughing because now you won't say anything bad.
Yeah, as opposed to, like, you know, savagely going after him on SNL like every fucking night.
Norm being contrarian on purpose. Like, that's totally Norm.
My favorite is when the verdict came and he goes, well, murder is now legal in the state of California.
Or like, what was the green eggs and ham joke? He was like, he brought out green eggs and ham and he said, and OJ killed someone. It's just like the title of the book, he read it and he would just throw OJ in any bit. It didn't matter what the topic of conversation was.
One of my favorite things, it was visual. The sketch isn't even that good, but it was just visual. It was the Saturday after the verdict, and they had Tim Meadows doing the Monday Night Football thing as OJ doing the pen. It spells out, I did it.
I fucking love Tim Meadows. So I feel like he doesn't get talked about enough on SNL. He was great.
No, and his interviews are actually outstandingly good. When he talked about Chris Farley, I remember one time he broke down talking about Chris Farley. That's how much he loved him. Because he was with him at Second City. Like, he definitely went through Second City with him. And he was so, like, he just said, he just reminiscing about when he and Chris made it to SNL. He was talking about how we both made it, and Chris was so happy, and he just remembered that time. And then to see, and it tore him up because he loved Chris, you could tell.
Well, I kind of feel, you know, how Artie and Norm came up, they sort of had that bond, which is why Norm was really affected by hearing Artie's addiction constantly being fodder for the air, you know, and certainly. I feel like it's almost like brothers in trenches, you know, how great for Tim Meadows to watch you guys both be battling it out for the success, you get it, and you're watching the other person you came up with just totally blow it.
Yeah. It's really tough. I mean, it had to be tough for all of them.
Chevy Chase didn't remember me.
No, are you kidding?
I swear to God.
It's me, shampoo and shit.
I know. Well, I mean, listen, you know.
He remembered Chevy, you. He didn't remember
Chevy. Remembers you. He doesn't remember working with Artie. No.
He got up and he said, "Nice to meet you."
Artie said, "We worked together." He goes, "Really? When?"
Yeah. What film?
What film was that? The midget film?
I said, "Dirty Work."
You know what happened with Chevy when he was on? Because he was having trouble with you. Because you would phone him and wake him up and all that.
We
shit.
We were not friends back then.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, I told him. I said, "Chevy, fucking phone Howard and just if you like him, he'll like you. It's over."
That's it. And now we're friends. We're the best of friends.
The best of friends.
I love it. The best of friends.
I've used that clip in intros before, and it's because it just shows how obviously it shows Howard for how vapid he is and the way yes. Norm explained it. He didn't Stern doesn't realize he just got insulted.
No, and he doesn't realize exactly. It is so vapid, and how it also reveals how unserious and not real any of the beefs were that he had, that he gets his whole audience all jazzed up to hate these people. And right. It really is meaningless to him because it's never really about the thing that he says. All of his critiques, criticisms, jokes, whatever or lack thereof, or the ones that Jackie's writing for him, they mean nothing to him. It's never about that. It's all about if somebody he perceives doesn't like him.
Yeah,
that's when he battles them. But the second they go, "Hey, what's up? Let's be friends." Oh, cool.
Like, I'm still waiting for him to try to get Jay Leno and do a mea culpa after not, but he wouldn't do it. He would just act like all the 20 years of shitting on him never happened.
He's so vapid. I was just reading an article with Bob when we were doing our Opie and Anthony part 2 saga, and it was from 1997, Entertainment Tonight, and Howard's being interviewed. And in the last paragraph, he says that he's making fun of all these asshole DJs and all these hosts who kiss celebrity ass and says, "But it has to be nice to be inside that cocoon. If I get inside that cocoon, that's it. My career's over. It's dead." That's what he said. And the second he got in the cocoon, look what happened.
Yep.
That's how it works.
That's good.
So anyway, I was shocked.
Because remember he said he was at a Yankees game and a guy came up and called his daughter a cunt.
That's right.
Yeah, that actually he spoke about you quite a bit there.
Right, I'm sure.
I also forgot that they offered Howard a part in Dirty Work. And that was Sandler that took over the part. It was him as the devil on the shoulder, whatever. It was one of those.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's so because basically Norm called in whoever he could for a cameo to make the film, you know, funnier. Yeah. Because and his buddies, they would all do it. And Howard refused. Like, and that would be something like, if you refuse the film, why wouldn't you be curious to see how it turned out without you?
Because he's not a curious person and he doesn't care about comedy.
No. And it because the film was a bomb. But if it had made like 100 million, he would have watched it and felt God, I could have been in this.
Of course, it's not even about the quality or the content. It's about numbers, money.
And I remember absolutely remember watching it at the time because Something About Mary came out afterwards and that was a hysterical film. I mean, not that I like what's his name, Ben Stiller, but there's no question that film changed the whole plot. You know, we were able to get R-rated comedies again after that, but we'd had like a 10-year lull where you never saw any of those unless they were like titty films, you know, basically pussy and tits films. But I remember Dirty Work specifically watching it and going, there was an R-rated film somewhere in here and stuff was cut out.
Exactly. I know. I felt the same way. And it's because they were trying, because of like Sandler movies and David Spade and Chris Farley movies, they were making so much money off those and kids could go see them. Like your parents drop you off at the movie theater, but it has to be rated PG-13. And I feel like because of that, it made a lot of other comedies suffer.
Yes.
Because they couldn't be R-rated, and that sucks.
Right. Right. And they really should have realized, though, if you just cater to the adults, they'll not only will they go to see it, but on rentals, it will be like all the kids will get their older siblings or their parents to rent it, not knowing, you know, like what the film's about. There's that one scene supposedly they had it cut out. They'd filmed it, but it was an outtake. It was a deleted scene where they wanted to get, there was a revenge thing they had to do against a hockey team. So they sent a bunch of donuts into the room or the locker room. And so the hockey players were eating all the donuts, but when they got through to the bottom, there was a picture of Norm and Artie with naked except for all the donuts on their dicks that they just finished eating.
That's so great.
Yeah, that would have been like, you would have been rolling in the aisles if you'd seen that.
I would have. I would have.
Yeah.
Listen to me, Norm.
You don't age, man. You look good.
I look good? Thank you. And you look good.
Thanks, pal.
Yeah, you look real good.
You're good, man.
You put on a little weight, but it looks good on you. You look good.
I'm working out. No, it's just fat.
You're fat now?
Well, it's like, but it's proportion. No, I got abs and shit.
Listen, I always talk about Norm being a good-looking guy. He always got the... He's quietly going back. He scored some big ones. Who is it I heard you had? Can I mention someone I heard that you had sex with?
I don't know.
I'll tell you the name. You can confirm, deny, or not even comment. Oh, somebody said you once had sex with the porn star, Savannah Sampson. Ooh. Is that true or false?
I never even heard of her.
Never heard of her, so you never had her.
I've never heard of her, so...
I would like to have sex with her.
No, I've never had sex with a porn star.
She's my favorite porn star.
Yeah, but when you worry about...
You would never...
This is what I would worry about.
Go ahead.
Because I remember when Pamela Anderson was on the side, I was like, hey, man, you got to go for that and stuff. I wouldn't want to, after, Tommy Lee and who's the other dude?
That's right, Kid Rock.
Kid Rock.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to pull out my measly cock, What the fuck am I? What, am I crazy? I'm not stupid.
But you also worry about diseases and things.
And you also have to think about, like, if you're fucking Pam Anderson after she's been with somebody like Tommy Lee, who's been with, I don't know, half the world, that's all coming with her, too, now.
Yeah, well, and a junkie, too. Not to question, like, not the hep A through fucking Z that she eventually got.
Yeah, she did, which is, why? I mean, you picked Tommy Lee.
Yeah. What was that line that Jeff Ross said? Tommy Lee, Kid Rock, are you fucking your way to the middle?
I mean, there's no way that you saw that video of Tommy Lee. And I have to think that most women saw that and thought, all right, maybe just once I'd like to try.
Well, speaking as a woman,
so
I could say no. I never thought that.
It's so amazing.
I did laugh, though, when he was using his dick to try to steer the boat.
Well, I'd do everything with that if I had that baguette. I'd be fucking everywhere with that thing out.
Do you know what?
Opening doors, whatever.
Having seen the video, I think it was not as big as people think. It's because he was so reedy, it's going to look that much bigger. If he actually had a normal physique.
Huge.
Nah, I don't think so. It wasn't John Holmes territory.
I don't know. I don't know about John Holmes, but I know that was impressive.
if you look, it's like you film anything close up, it looks like the meteor headed for Earth. But
I mean, between the size of her tits and that, I was just like, this is just a lot to take in.
I guess so.
It's like that, right? I mean, you're pretty careful. You wear rubber when you're with the women, or do you go wild and just say, fuck it, I'm gonna have sex without a rubber? Do you ever, what do you do?
When I'm making love to
a lady?
Do
you ever yell out hamburger?
Yeah, after he comes, he says, hamburger.
Seriously, how is your sex life, by the way? Because you're single now a long time. We don't see you in the tabloids. We don't see you with any broads, any women, nothing. What? Are you into a commitment?
He's so nervous that he just asked
a question about who I let me get out this list of people that I heard you were with. Now he's completely moved on from that. Hamburger. Do you use a rubber? I mean, he's all over the place. He can't even focus on one question.
Because he's so nervous about asking that one question because he doesn't know how Norm's going to react. That's his big problem.
And he's trying to gauge him and he can't predict what he's going to say for any of this.
No. And he should have known, like, what's Norm going to do? Norm loves the show. He loves, he's really, even if he said that on Adam Carolla's show and believes it, you think he's going to bring it up to Howard?
No. And I like how Norm is kind of basking in the awkwardness of watching this machine gun fly at him of questions that he doesn't care. And so you could just tell he's kind of, he's attentive, but he's sitting back and he's kind of basking in this awkwardness Howard's throwing at him.
Yes, totally.
Commitment? Are you into any kind of committed relationship?
No.
Nothing. Those days are over.
Mostly I just whack off.
You whack off mostly?
Almost only, yeah.
You don't go out on dates?
No, I much prefer whacking off.
See, I always thought you'd be the kind of guy because you like to be home. You're a recluse.
He'd get a wife or something.
Not a wife, maybe a tight girlfriend, someone.
But whacking off's better.
Yeah, you really feel that way.
Yeah, because my imagination's better than any fucking reality.
Are you being serious with me?
I'm being dead serious.
When's the last time you had a girlfriend?
I don't think I've ever had a girlfriend. I have a wife. I guess she was my girlfriend before I married.
Right. And after the wife, you
kind of. That was it?
That was it. You realized I'm a different guy than I thought I was. I'm really a loner.
Yeah.
You're a loner.
Yeah.
Do you get lonely?
No.
I was shocked that you went on Adam's show, Adam Carolla.
Okay. So now he's going to bring it up. Like, so that was it. I guess you're a loner. And he's not getting anything from him because these are not deep questions.
Oh, and he also just, you know, where's that list you just had? Like, well,
it was just one. First of all, it was a nonsensical, like, it was a made-up bullshit. No one ever said he went out with Savannah Sampson. Nobody.
But I know, like, he was pictured and photographed with different women at certain points in time, which I'm sure Howard could have brought up. But again, not prepared. Who cares?
Nope.
And you said, Howard, more or less, it seemed like you kind of said that I'm responsible for Artie's heroin abuse.
He almost said you're killing Artie.
Yeah, and you said that.
What did you say again? Wait, stop.
I thought you were on Adam's show. I could play the tape, but I don't need to.
Should. Because it's really indictment. In fact, should I play the audio now? Just to because it's really short.
I think it's incredible that Howard always brings up audio when he wants to make a point on something and harp on it, whether it be Oprah, Ellen, whatever. But now for something that he's going to bring up to Norm because he doesn't like what he said, he could have easily brought up that audio, but it would have been too indicting. And it's honest.
Artie, pretend you're not here for a minute. Pizza.
All right.
I love
Artie.
It's
funny you think it's your problem and not Artie's problem.
Well, this is what you said.
No.
Do you want me to play what you said?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Really? Listen to it, because I really want an explanation of this. It was very hurtful, and it even got me thinking. I said, you know, Norm's a bright guy. I like you. And I said, gee, if Norm thinks that of me, I have to really sit down and examine myself. And I even went to my psychiatrist. I talked about it. I said, gee, Norm said these horrible things about me.
Did you talk to your psychiatrist?
I did.
You said Norm?
Wait, so I like that he said, I really have to examine myself, like maybe taking some inventory. How long did it take before he flipped it on its head and now is gaslighting Norm and is faux outraged? He must have initially maybe thought to himself, you're right. He probably didn't. He probably is saying this to make it seem like, oh, yeah, I'm actually taking some inventory. He probably was immediately angry and didn't care one bit.
Oh, yes, he was angry, but that was it. I don't think he mentioned to a fucking psychiatrist 1 minute. I think he's doing that to try to make Norm feel like shit, and that's it.
Yeah,
and also make it sound like this, you know, this was really affecting to me and I had to go through such anguish because of this comment.
Well, yeah, he's trying to make himself seem like this evolved person who cares and, oh, maybe I should think about my actions. No.
Yeah.
Norm. And he goes, who the fuck is Norm? That guy I haven't seen since Dirty Work.
Norm.
I took three sessions up on Norm.
And then let me
play it for you. Maybe. Right. What page is that on, Gary? We have pages now, Norm. We are all computerized.
Hold on.
Yeah. I'll find it. It's worth playing, and I want you to explain to me what.
He just reveals how vapid he is, too, because he goes, why am I wasting three sessions on Norm? This guy who just did Dirty Work, he hasn't been in any movies. Like, so. You don't care about Norm as a friend, obviously. His importance to you only matters based on his box office success. Like, that you would take it more seriously if Adam Sandler said it then? Is that what you're trying to say?
Sure, or Jim Carrey for that matter. In fact, we have that one episode where he bitched for Jim Carrey for 20-something minutes when it was outed in the Playboy interview that somebody called in and quoted him in the Playboy interview talking about how he enabled Sam Kinison and told him, like, you're not funny when you're not fucked up.
Right.
Yeah, and then he spoke to Jim, wouldn't go on the air. He called him privately and told him, you know, look, I was just, you know, it was an interview, and that was my thoughts on Sam, and I loved Sam, and I know you did too. But he didn't want to come on the air because he didn't want to have that bullshit like pretense.
This.
And he also did. He didn't need to go on the air for something like this because he's Jim Carrey, and who the fuck was Howard?
Exactly, and you know. When Chris Rock said something similar to what Norm's saying, because Chris Rock is successful and was at the time and doing a bunch of different things, you could tell Howard was a little taken aback by it and did take it more seriously because
I think so.
Howard equates, he's such a shitty person. Like, I can't stand it.
Right.
You were thinking because maybe you got an idea here what to do with Artie.
It's at Gary page 2 and it's on the bottom in red.
Yeah. I was surprised to hear these comments because, you know, even I know when you worked with Artie, uh-huh.
He was doing coke, and you didn't fire
no.
him.
No.
I never did coke.
Don't you remember you were trying to score coke at the bar that night?
I tried to score coke the first day I ever met him.
Right. Yeah.
But in the movie, as far as I knew, Artie was a complete professional.
Yeah. All right. I hit my mark.
Here's what you're saying.
And by the way, if he remembered the story correctly, yes, Artie was trying to score coke, but it was the first day they met. He didn't even bring it up to Artie at the time, I remember.
No, it was afterwards.
Only afterwards that he said, you thought you were being real slick, and we knew exactly what you were doing.
Yeah, and then he said, like, oh, Jesus, I better be on my P's and Q's then, because I wasn't fooling anybody, and I thought I was. So they're smarter than I gave him credit. They're smarter than I gave him credit for.
Exactly.
Yep.
And believe me, I'm willing, I'm open to listening to whatever you have to say.
Norm, what else can we talk about? We did Celebrity Millionaire.
Your show coming up?
Here's one. Artie Lang.
Artie, yeah.
You're friends with Artie.
I'm very good friends. Anyway, well,
Well, we're going to open the newspaper or turn on the computer one of these mornings and find out that Artie is not with us anymore. Yes?
Well, I hope not.
He recently went into rehab again, I think.
Well, it's outpatient.
Outpatient.
Rehab, so I don't know what that even means, but I hope he does. That's good. I don't know. You know, I don't. It's a very tough position because it's a guy who has problems. We all know guys who have problems, you know?
Right.
You worked with a guy who knows a whole bunch of guys that have problems.
Sure. Kimmel. Oh, yeah. Dr. Drew.
Yeah. Dr. Drew.
Sure.
And so you know, it's tough and everything. But anyways, he's in a certain position where it seems like the whole, because I went to see his show, you know,
mm-hmm.
stand-up show.
Yeah.
People are just handing him Jägermeister all the time, drinks. So it's like his whole show is enabling him and his whole audience
the lifestyle
is
not
him.
Conducive with sobriety.
No, it's terrible. It's really...
Also, you know, and not only are drugs available when you're a celebrity, people give them to you, but also I would have been a cokehead too if I got $2,000 an hour to do construction back in the 80s.
Right.
You know, if Howard paid Artie more and paid him what he was actually worth, he probably wouldn't have had to do the shows every weekend where he's being handed Jägermeister. You know what I'm saying? If he just focused on radio and Howard maybe allowed him some time to go do a movie once in a while, that's is the other part that bothers me is that it's twofold. It's you're profiting off of his addiction because it's content for the show. You're underpaying him for his talent on the show, and because you're underpaying him, he also has to have this other part of his life that he shouldn't need to do anymore, especially if he wanted to focus on sobriety.
Well, there's so many different like points to this situation that like you have to basically make a checklist. So there's already believing and knowing he's underpaid and undervalued. Mm-hmm. And he also knows that there's this money out there for him. He knows how much he can get. If he had no idea, like early on when he was doing stand up with John and John would pocket most of the money, Stuttering John, that is. And he, you know, DiPaolo and him, when they would do this and John would do nothing and then pocket most of the money because he's a name and they aren't, that kind of thing, or as much a name. Then once he realized his worth and he realized he's not getting it at the show, I got to get it somewhere else. Then you've got the resentment of being made basically a alcoholic, drug addict, whatever, for the show, and painting himself into a corner where he's got to do these tales of degradation to get laughs, and then it's a vicious cycle. But then actively resenting the stuff on the show and the amount of coverage, knowing that this isn't money going in his pocket for DirecTV or you know like the Howard TV stuff, and then Howard doing the bro fight, you know, all that stuff, it just eats away at him. And then it affected his performance into such that he's got like, now I'm going to skip out on the show. Because when he started not showing up for the show, whether it was because of drugs, I think part of it was drugs, and the other part was, well, fuck them, they need me, I can do this, and they're not paying me enough. And it's like anybody else, we talked about it. You don't think people are going to fucking slack when you don't pay them enough and when you don't treat them with respect. And that's the scale just started sliding as a result of that.
It was a really vicious cycle, and it was a downward spiral cycle.
Yes.
And I'm not blaming all of his problems on Howard. Like, nobody was. But if you're made to feel worthy, you will think and look at yourself differently. But if you're coming into work every day, getting hammered like this and being the clown with your addiction, putting a chair in a room to sleep on the show, you know, it's just, it's a vicious spiral.
Yeah, it was. And it was, they were totally enabling him. So like that's, and that's the whole point.
Yes.
It's not that, you know, Artie wasn't responsible for his own addictions. It's that he wasn't in an environment where they gave a fuck.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And instead, I got $9 an hour and I was like, I'm not going to buy a gram of Coke for 110 bucks when I'm not making 110 bucks in a day.
Exactly. So he's got the money. Also, his character, his comic character.
Yes.
Is that of a drug using, heavy drinking guy that's going to die.
Right.
Right. So right. How does he go on as a comedian without that persona?
Yeah. I told him, be a rehab guy. Just, you know, call yourself the rehab guy and it'll be
but
funny.
Nothing is more tedious.
But, you know, the thing.
No, but at least he'd live.
Yeah.
I personally, I don't like that, what they're doing on Stern to him.
What are they doing?
I mean, obviously he's complicit in it, but I'm saying that, he doesn't have to be Beetlejuice, or he doesn't have to be. They, you know, there was, they had a midget on that show that was drunk and died. I already apologized for that.
Hank.
And they were telling him, hey, drink more, drink.
So you think they're.
I apologize for that.
Of course they are.
So here we go. What do you mean about Artie? All right, well, you apologize about Hank. I'm really.
Okay, so that's where that's the part you don't hear, but that's the audio that I have, and so some of this is going to repeat itself, but we'll it's only like 20 seconds of repeat, and then he goes into his thing. So I'll continue from here.
Yeah, unless you want to refresh your memory, they played me the tape. You kind of said Howard is the cause, and that I even
and Adam Carolla's
show. You said I
yes,
was
I was talking about Artie. I brought up Artie.
Yeah, you brought up Artie.
I didn't. He did.
He did.
Out of the blue.
But I somehow got slammed. And you said, I was shocked to hear this, that you felt that I was somehow enabling. And you even said that I killed Hank the Angry Dwarf, where we said to Doug Goodstein, why don't you come in and talk about how many times we had him committed.
You know what? You're right. You're right. I did say that.
Yeah.
And I apologize for that because that's not true. That's a terrible thing I said.
I felt horrible that you would say that about me.
No,
you know what? And Norm's, he's apologizing for that, but he still believes it. He's just doing the show business thing where he goes, yeah, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean that. But he said it because he did mean it.
Well, he did mean it. And it is true that, okay, yes, you guys say you tried to get him help, but you also continued on platforming him as a drunk, angry dwarf. So if you cared so much, you would have stopped doing that altogether and made it a sole focus behind the scenes to get him into rehab instead of faux pretending on the air that you were trying to get him help. But then here, come to this gig next week.
Yep.
Did I say, I do
were
remember
you
saying
joking
Hank,
or what?
No, I wasn't joking.
But you
believed it at the time.
No, the Hank the Angry Dwarf thing, I don't believe. I don't know. I don't know why I said that.
That was
wrong of me because, first of all, I didn't know shit.
Right.
About what I was talking about anyways. Right. But no, the Artie thing.
Explain it to me, because if there's something I could be doing, I want to know what I can do. Maybe
no, you
got
don't.
I'm not Dr. Drew, you know, I don't know. But
you seem to know that day.
Yeah, you were very full of yourself.
Well, sometimes you're on the fucking radio and you say stuff.
You know? You guys know I'm sitting here.
No, but I take this. Artie, pretend you're not here for a minute. Yeah. Eat something.
All right.
I love Artie.
It's funny you think it's
very degrading. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Just go eat something. Like, Artie, pretend you're not here. Go eat something. While I continue on my high horse of gaslighting to Norm's face when you know exactly what he was saying. He didn't say you were the cause. He said, because of this character he's developed, you're enabling the character. You're not trying to change the character.
Well, yeah. I mean, the space, the controlled space where Artie's in addiction is not just enabled, but let's call it what it is. It's encouraged.
And even the eating stuff, that was encouraged. I mean, how many fucking bits did we go through with that? I mean, it's less of an evil than drugs, but still, they were fully on board for that. And then they were ready. And then, of course, they would say, Artie, lose weight. Artie, do this contest to lose weight. Or Robin's fucking little gimmicks she would do with Artie. Whatever. The point is, they kept pretending like they were trying to make him thinner, but they were making fun of him at the same time and putting him down constantly for his weight. So it had like the opposite effect because it also lowered his self-esteem.
And I was gonna say that when Kumia hired Artie to work on his show, I said at the time originally when I heard it was going to happen that I remember distinctly thinking, well, then he's just as much of an enabler as Howard, except that he is not going to have Artie on to fuck with him about his drugs, and he's not going to have him on to discuss how his weight loss and make, you know, whole bits about him. He's there to provide commentary about what they're talking about.
Right. And Anthony never degraded Artie. In fact, they were very equals. Like, they treated each other like equals. They were, nobody was better than anybody else. Because, of course, Anthony has his own fucking drunk problems, too.
Of course. But it wouldn't be the same type of, like, it is still the same type of enabling in terms of, you know, he's an addict, and you're hiring him anyway, and you're giving him money. And what Chris Rock, his suggestion was actually the best one. You have to cut him off from show business and show him that there are consequences to doing this. And by giving him gigs, you're actually rewarding that his addiction. You're rewarding the drugs.
Well, at some point, Anthony stopped paying him, like, you know, a regular salary. Yeah. He would just pay him for when he actually showed up and for time. Because, and I think that's fine. Like, you're getting paid to do a job. If you're not doing it, we're not paying you, type of thing.
Right.
But he knew that every single fucking dollar he made on that show was going to the next day in a fucking hotel room, holed up doing blow.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's your problem, not Artie's problem.
Well, this is what you said.
No.
Because I really want an explanation of this. It was very hurtful. And it even got me thinking. I said, you know, Norm's a bright guy. I like you. And I said, gee, if Norm thinks that of me, I have to really sit down and examine myself. And I even went to my psychiatrist. I talked about it. I said, gee, Norm said these horrible things about me.
Did you talk to your psychiatrist?
I did.
Wait a minute. And you said Norm?
Norm. And he goes, who the fuck is Norm? That guy, yeah, I haven't seen him since Dirty Work.
Norm? Who's he?
I took three sessions up on Norm. What do you mean about Artie? All right. Well, you apologize about Hank. I'm really, Hank, we tried so desperately to get this guy in hospitals.
We tried so desperately to get him in hospitals. How many times did we have him committed? I don't buy that for a minute.
I don't buy it because they had him appearing till the bitter end. And that's just, and it doesn't even matter because it didn't work. And so if you couldn't get him committed, then stop having him on the show.
Yes, that's the only way. Like, you know, if this person's not getting their sustenance, I mean, someone would say, well, that's cruel. You did it for so long and then you cut him off. Well, if you publicly come out and say, look, this guy has a serious problem. We don't want to be the ones to exploit him, because it's exploitation at that point. If you decide, no, we're not going to do it. It's kind of the same reason we didn't go after Stuttering John when the whole Dabbleverse thing started happening, because I could see he was a fucking drunk. And I know how people feel about, you know, oh, he's a chiseler and he's a shitty husband. Well, those are all things you're creating. You're using those as excuses to go after him, but they're not really excuses.
Well, he's going to be he'll be the next aphasia, dementia induced from alcoholism, I'm convinced.
Right. So do we really need to pile on with everybody else? I don't think so. There's plenty of content that no one cares about now, or people are caring less about, because it's been done to death. If we start doing one, then it's still overkill.
Well, I'd rather go over the stuff Stuttering John did on the show, the sagas between him and Howard, and whatever fun episodes that actually relate to the Stern show, you know, not about whatever the fuck's going on now. I don't care.
Yeah, nobody. I certainly don't really.
No, I believe you.
We really.
I honestly.
Do you remember that appearance?
But do you remember
that on?
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So I felt bad after I heard that, because I do love Artie, and I would do anything to see Artie stop the negative behavior. I've talked to Artie privately about it. I mean, I don't want to be some guy who jams it down his throat and all that kind of stuff. But you seem to feel that I'm enabling or encouraging the behavior, and I'm not.
I don't remember hearing. I said the Stern show.
Yes.
Yeah, he did say the Stern show. He wasn't. But Howard, of course, takes it personal. But it is a personal comment he was making. I think that Norm's point about saying Artie is now being treated like a whack packer, like Hank the Angry Dwarf. He is being boxed in this way, and he's not. He's not a fucking whack packer. I mean, it's bad enough that you exploited all these people, but now you're exploiting your talent that's supposed to be co-equals with Robin and Fred and everybody else.
Yeah, and I know, I think despite... I think the E crew, but I meant the Howard TV staff, I would say they did their damnedest to try to make Artie look as good as possible by cutting away, doing a lot of editing on the videos, making sure they didn't include certain things that could have made Artie look really bad.
How much, what do you think they had to edit more? Howard's shifty eyes and wig fucking itching, or
toothpicks
or Artie?
I'd say shitloads of it, and Artie eating his arm and, you know, like mowing down on devil dogs and all that shit, and drinks and stuff. Sleeping, yeah.
You feel it's Robin who's doing most of it.
No, but I'm saying that the show is a creation.
Yes.
That's very real. That's very it's at its most interesting.
Yes.
When the guest is at his most honest.
Yes, so that's true.
Artie is probably as honest as you're going to find.
Yes, he's terrific.
And as provocative as you're going to find.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So then there at four, that makes the show hugely entertaining.
That is true.
And isn't that what you're going for?
Well, I'm always into honesty, but I mean...
But how is that enabling him or encouraging him to do destructive things?
Oh, you fucking parrot, asshole.
Because you're not encouraging him to change the behavior because you like the success and the eyes and the attention it's bringing from the negativity. Like, you're profiting, and your show as a whole, you know, is benefiting from his downfall. So you're going to be less excited and less apt to try to help him privately get it together.
Right. Like, where's the motivation or inclination to help him and then suddenly not have that Howard TV content?
You know, it's almost like strange to me. When Robin had cancer, Howard went to the ends of the earth to make it work for her, to help her, to get her doctor's appointments, to do all this stuff. Addiction is a disease. So where was all of that? Where was arsenal of doctors lined up for Artie or people or?
Well, hold on. There's two schools of thoughts. There's the people that believe addiction isn't disease, which I'm on the fence because I've heard after watching and seeing Matthew Perry try to excuse his addiction away, all of his bad behavior away. It's actually, to me, insulting to real
I'm not saying it's cut and dry. It's not the same. Okay.
And it isn't. Obviously. I mean, like, there's a cancer and drug addiction are not the same, for example. But it gets thrown around. That AA and NA, they use that phrase too often, and it's erroneous, I think. But I know what you mean. It's insidious in terms of the effects
of
long-term.
It's going to lead to death. Both will lead to death eventually.
Eventually,
if you continue down the path, if Robin didn't get help, she would have died.
Right. If you don't get treatment.
Exactly. So if you don't want your co-host to die,
yes,
and you value his life, then you would have done the same thing for Artie that you did for Robin.
But he didn't. He like at the thing was he didn't value. First, I think there's two things. Number one, Robin really had the goods on him, so he was honor bound to do it because, like, what if she's gonna say on the way out? And then with Artie, and also he just crutched on her his entire. You know, that was
career.
Like all you've had these. This pair of fucking depends on your entire life and you just wash them out and then suddenly they're ripped. What are you going to do? You have to get them repaired. So King Baby needs that, you know, that bulletproof vest, get out of it. Cause he's still in that mode, even though he's trying to steer away from the racial stuff, but he still got her and needed her desperately for certain situations when he said racial stuff on the air.
Yep.
Yeah. So she was more valuable than Artie. And then, of course, Artie calling him a pelican and all those things. I mean, it was just a matter of time before he jettisoned Artie, whether he was addicted or not. But I think it would have been harder for him to get rid of Artie if he had gotten clean.
Well, I don't know. For instance, let me ask you this.
I don't think you know either.
Let me ask you this. I don't think
anyone knows. I just, you know.
Let me ask you this.
Everyone blames me.
No, I'm not blaming. But I'm saying when Artie threw the thing at Teddy and shit, right?
Right.
Then you didn't play it again for the rest of the day.
That's right. I didn't.
Why didn't you play it?
I didn't play it because Artie was so distraught and the emotions were so real that I felt that Artie was in a state that I didn't even know. We hadn't even talked afterwards. He left. And I felt that by replaying it, Artie could... You have to put it in perspective. I had no idea what was going on. I didn't know if Artie was going to go put a bullet in his own head because he was so upset that he did that. And
but
I
then
felt
you
by
see,
replaying
then,
it.
By the way, Teddy has then, apologized. Then when you put it on demand and promo the hell out of it.
Because I spoke to Artie and we talked over the weekend. And Artie was going to leave the show. And some private things happened between myself and Artie, and which we have never gone into on the air. It's off the air private stuff.
Yeah.
And I...
Oh, one sec. I think that there's some validity to the fact that there was something said off the air. He had to meet with human resources, this Artie, and say, like, look, this can't happen again, because he'd already gone after Sal. He threw the CD at Sal, and now they're literally physically going after, where people had to restrain, try to restrain him against Teddy, whereas he should have been fired. That's the God's honest truth.
Well, here's the other part. Why, like he's saying, why did you not play it and then you promote the hell out of it? And he said, well, I went to go talk to Artie and we had this private conversation, and then now it's being promoted and it's being shown again on demand. Why are you going to the person? You know that he's in no state of mind to be making any sort of decisions on any of this. So you're going to somebody at their most vulnerable, who's about to lose their job. What kind of conversation are you possibly having? Like, you're trying to guilt it. Like, you want to play it because you know it's going to be great content for the air.
Yes.
But you know it's wrong. You know it's inherently wrong because you took it down. So now you want to feel less guilty. So you're going to the most, you're going to that person and saying, I won't do it if you don't want to.
Right.
But it's up to you. Why are you even putting that ball in his court?
Yes.
Why?
That's 100% correct. You should be.
If he had a
care in the world, he just would have put the kibosh on it and said, we're never playing this again. We're going to ban this. You banned the Don Cornelius call because you got an injunction out against you. You got lawyers to tell you not to play the Paul, Linda McCartney clips anymore, and because you wanted
Paul
McCartney to come in.
The fucking bones of what's her face?
Debbie Tay, which is that footage is completely gone. Like, as try as I might desperately to find that, it's been scrubbed from God only knows what forensic person they got to go to every fucking torrent site and get that removed.
The same one that got Beth's back page hooker ads all taken down.
There you go. So, I mean, like, it's just a matter of, and so I think it's a valid point. Like, if you really cared about that person, you would have said, no, I'm not having that on there again. But I'm still going to have a major conversation with this guy and find out what's going on. And if you cared, you'd absolutely tell him, look, go into a fucking 12-step program, whatever you need, not just 1 month, 3 months. Your job will be here when you come back, but this is not working right now. Or you can leave.
But think about how manipulative that is to go to him and somehow rid yourself of guilt by thinking that he's making the decision to keep this on, saying, oh, well, I went to Artie. So he's, you know, ridding himself of guilt.
I felt, in all seriousness, and Artie felt, we made the decision together that we could go on. Artie wanted the audience to see that, but Artie has changed his behavior a lot and has really thought that whole experience through. So in all seriousness,
honestly, Teddy has apologized for forcing me to do that.
Yeah, we determined, Artie and I determined it was Teddy's fault somehow.
So it was okay to scream.
Yeah.
No, so you're in a conflicted place where
I love Artie.
Yes.
And I know, believe me, I
listen to the show and I know that you guys love each other.
Yes. I see it. So. I don't know if he loves me. He told me I'm not his bro, but I love him.
Oh. I apologize like Norm apologized for him.
So what are we really saying now?
Well, listen, Chris Rock, because every guest has to comment on this.
I think that Norm has disavowed everything he said on Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
No, I disavowed the thing about Hank the Angry Dwarf.
But you've backtracked and you now say, no, I don't think you're at fault.
What about Adam Carolla killed Artie?
I think he was saying
what I'm saying.
It's hard to, like, I put all that out there, and now it's such part of the fabric of the show, it's hard for me to get off that roller coaster. Like, you're not asking me to do it.
No.
But I feel like it is, it becomes entertaining, and I feel like it's necessary, not from any orders, but just that, you know, it feeds itself.
Listen, I hired Artie on our show. After you're the reason
you're
Artie's
the
here.
Reason we know this stuff about Artie,
and
so it's Norm's fault.
Well, Robin is so shrill right now. I literally can't with her voice when she knows inherently too that this is all true,
and she's
no dummy when it comes to this. She's aware what's happening. She's aware that, just like Artie says, it feeds itself. So now we're deflecting, and we're going to put this back on Norm in the most fucking vile tone of voice. I can't stand when she gets like this.
Yeah, it's horrible.
When Artie was hired on the show, Artie wasn't doing any of this shit. Okay. I hired him because he's a funny guy.
He's hilarious.
He's hilarious. He
but
can talk about this.
And his introduction to Artie, Norm pushed him forward because he didn't want to talk about Al McPherson and said, does cocaine.
Right. Yeah. You
I didn't say he did cocaine. I didn't say he did cocaine at the time. This was a thing in the past.
But if
Artie had been backstage on coke, I would have brought him out and go, hey, look, coke.
Right, it happened 2 weeks before.
So in other words, after this 10 minutes have gone by of this discussion about Artie, no one knows anything, right? We don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. No one has anything.
Well, I guess no one really knows what to do. No. I mean, but I don't know. I said things probably emotionally. I was very emotional at this fucking roast that I had to do.
Oh, yeah.
Because Artie, I thought he was dead. I didn't fucking know. I thought they were telling us, I thought they wanted to do their roast so bad that they weren't going to tell us a guy was dead. Which is what I thought. It's just believable.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
Because when he was supposed to do he was asked to do this Bob Saget roast, but then he talks about it in his book. He had taken heroin and he'd taken Subutex and was green. Like he said, and he was at no show. And they were like, look, whatever you need, we'll prop you up. Like that's the kind of cruelness of show business. Comedy Central was like, whatever you need, we'll have a doctor stand by if we need to prop you up for this, which is, you know, such lack of caring about the guy that, you know.
Well, he probably did heroin and thought, if I could still make it to the show if I take this Subutex, but you have to wait a certain amount of time before you start doing that. You can't. And if you don't, you get super sick.
Yes.
The show does have to go on, Norm. You know that.
That's not what I've heard.
Yep. I felt bad.
I've heard the show doesn't necessarily have to go on.
That's in Canada. That's why show business in Canada is going nowhere.
Okay, we're going to leave it right there. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Guys, we're going to leave that right there. We're going to deal with the other half another time. We hope you've enjoyed this one. Any closing thoughts, my dear?
Well, this was great. This is such a nice surprise. I was very happy that you picked this film or didn't tell me we were doing this. And I love when I get good surprises. And we haven't done a video walkthrough in a while, so this was so enjoyable.
Yeah, well, I hope this one makes it onto YouTube, guys, one way. The audio, I'm certain, will, if the video doesn't. But we're definitely going to try to put the video up as we can for a Sunday episode.
I was going to ask you, do we ever get flack for our stuff on YouTube? Like, has Howard Stern Show ever tried to take stuff down?
Strangely enough, we haven't for a while because I'm very smart about I'm patting myself on the back here, but I kind of have to be, you know, I know generally what's going to get flagged.
You've had channels wiped before.
I had to get smart. I'm not like some other fucking fly by night. Let's drink whiskey, you know, vodka in a punch bowl with ginger ale fucking shit. Like podcasts out there dealing with Stern stuff sporadically. In between talking about their fucking fabulous New York lifestyle. But I think that it was like a Patreon episode. Sorry, it was a Podbean episode that got flagged. Oh. And it was not a controversial episode, nor did the YouTube version of it get flagged. Sirius XM went after me for one episode randomly. And I think it was one along the lines of, we got to show we're doing something. So they went after my Podbean thing. And if I didn't get rid of it, they would have shut down the whole podcast on platforms. So I had to get rid of it. I did. And it's still available on YouTube.
You want to know what? I feel like the staffers on the Stern Show, whoever works there now, I'm certain they're all aware of our show.
Yep.
A part of the reason why I think they don't go after it, other than you being smart about what we put out there, is probably because they like it. Like the people who secretly resent the show. So maybe they just would say, oh, we tried one thing and they took it down. So we did our part.
Right. Well, I mean, like, honestly, I mean, for people like Chris Wilding, go fuck yourself, cocksucker. But, you know, who are listening, you know, we refuse to do to cover his scat stories and his awful sex stories anymore because we just know that it's put together for, you know, even if it's true, it's just pointless. And most people who want to listen to our breakdowns don't care about that. We did plenty of that to uncover it, and we don't need to do any more of it. And I think most people said, thank you for not including that scat stuff. It's really awful.
Yeah, thank you from me. By the way, do you know who has been ruining TikTokers' lives is Jennifer Lopez. She's had these people who have such a huge following on TikTok because they're making fun of her documentary and all this other terrible fucking video visual album that tanked and sucks and is awful.
She's
had them go after and take down the accounts of every single TikToker for copyright and all this other stuff. And these people, that's their living. So this one woman, her name is like Kyle Marissa. She's hilarious. And she does blind items. And
yes,
she was really hitting on how awful Jennifer Lopez is and how bad this project is doing. And they got her whole account wiped. Whole account gone.
You're kidding. It's gone?
It's gone.
Surprise, Raven didn't tell me about that because she's usually the one sending me the Kyle Marissa, the Marissa fucking links.
She had to make a new channel up, and she actually got interviewed about this in Forbes magazine because she wasn't the only one who had their channel wiped. Millions of followers, these TikTokers. So Forbes magazine interviewed TikTokers who are really pissed off that how fucking insecure and petty is Jennifer Lopez. Like, honestly, do you think that's going to make you seem more appealing to other people now that you did this to like low, you know, income or whatever they're making, three figures less, who knows? But you're so petty that you're going to ruin their entire cash flow.
That's the whole thing. I mean, like, you know, the move, it's like a lawyer would tell you, this is going to cause more problems than it's going to solve, Mrs. Your film's already done. There's no saving it.
Right. So instead, you're going to be so vindictive that you're going to ruin whole channels. Like, these are their whole lives. They don't have millions of dollars to fall back on.
You don't stomp on the ants. You go after the colony. You poison the colony. And you can't do that because you don't have that clout. You should have been fucking Elon Musk, not fucking not Ben Affleck. You know, you should be hooking up with somebody that's got money, that's real clout, not some drunk ex-director.
She really, though, was so petty and vindictive and did so much of this to so many different channels and accounts and wiped them and had them, you know, taken off the platform that I'm surprised but happy that Forbes reached out to all these people to write an article about it because it makes her look really bad.
And speaking of which, guys, there's a couple blind items I'd like to throw out just because we're going on to we haven't done this for a while too. This is from 407. So the this A-list foreign actress knows more is coming out about her higher on the list, soon to be ex. So this was the time to bail. Isla Fisher, Sacha Baron Cohen, they're divorcing after 13 years of marriage. And so apparently, he's going to get, if not Me Too'd, he's going to get. I don't know. Something's going to happen to him.
You already heard of Rebel Wilson's book.
Rebel Wilson,
And she came out and explained the allegations of his behavior on the movie set and how uncomfortable she was made to feel the entire time filming. And having her, he wanted her to stick her finger up his ass for no reason and wouldn't leave it alone. And just, he wanted her to be naked just because she's fat. It was terrible.
Yeah, well, I mean, it could be one of the, who knows how it'll affect them one way or the other, but we'll see. The next one is from the same day. Reader blind. The family and lawyers of the permanent A-lister are taking every step possible to block and prevent the public release of the humiliating pictures that were taken by the police stemming from the 1993 abuse case. Meanwhile, the accusers and their families smiling with glee, believing they're really entitled to those pictures being released and that it will help them truly win their lawsuit. Little does anyone know, some really good dirty laundry is about to be aired about them. That's going to be very shocking. Michael Jackson / Wade Robson and James Safechuck. So those, the two of the guys involved in the Leaving Neverland documentary. And so supposedly some compromats coming out and that's going to make them, I mean, they already look shitty as a result of, you know, what's since that documentary.
I mean, the flip-flopping, especially of Wade Robson,
is,
to me, I can't understand the fervent defense that he's made all these years and then just on a dime changing the story.
Yes.
And a lot of the stuff and events that he talks about, I know, aren't possible because of timelines, where Michael Jackson was. Yep. It just seems like... I just don't trust this person whatsoever.
Right. Like, I don't think there's any debate that Michael Jackson was incredibly fucked up and stunted as a human being. Yes. Because of the way he was raised by Joe Jackson. And I mean, it's well documented, even the schisms between the Jackson family about how much of an asshole Joe Jackson was. And, you know, he was just a tyrant and, you know, abusive and all these things. And Michael, and we know he was gay. If Michael really was gay and wasn't allowed to come out of the closet, I mean, and you imagine how big the spotlight of him was all those years and not being able to be himself. He was accused that, you know, was told that he met with Freddie Mercury and talked about, oh, you know, it's just so unfortunate that, you know, you didn't come out of the closet, but there's not really any secret. It's an open secret that you're gay, but I can't do it. Like, I'm still stuck in this, you know.
But also, well, yeah, and with, it wasn't just men either. Like, I remember one of the dancers for the tours in the early 90s, she had a big crush on him and he was very flirtatious with her, and management got wind of that and fired her from the tour. Like, they didn't even want women around him because they wanted him to seem available to the fans, so didn't want him to get a serious girlfriend either. So, I mean, they controlled his whole life in a way that I just think was horrible.
And this is the last one, guys. I found it funny. This is from 409. The only reason this married old permanent A-list mostly movie actor signed up for TikTok is so he can DM really young women he sees on the app. He decided that is better than hitting on his daughter's friends. Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, God, really?
El Creepo.
That's so sad. I didn't know he had a TikTok.
I guess so. I haven't seen it yet. But he was with his daughters doing some interview segments, and they were doing us their own channel, I guess. And he was actually kind of cute, his interactions with his daughters, because you can tell he loves them.
Oh, yeah. I like their whole family dynamic. I watched, like, they had a reality show or something.
Yes.
I forgot what it was called, but I could tell genuine love and affection from that whole family, and they just adore their father.
Yeah. Anyway, that's about it for us, guys. We hope you've enjoyed it, and we will see you on the next one. Please feel free to please like the show. Please add more comments. Retweet, share the video, share, and if whatever app you're using, Spotify, Podbean, of course, like, give great reviews. Help us put the show on more algorithms out there, so that the tentacles, like Howard's hair, just reach endlessly into the other and get other people onto us, because we really do appreciate it.
We do, and that was the clunkiest way of promoting us I've ever heard you do.
Well, I'm not a self-promoter by any stretch, and I will put little promo videos out on YouTube and on the app, just to get people reminded that there's more content than you see out there. And if you want it, Patreon's where you're really going to get it. But we're still out there
online. Subscribe.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm not going to put those fucking stickers on. Anyway, take care, guys. We love you.
Gay boy, rock star, friends with Allison, oxycodone, off context, my child, fruit pills, social worker, CNN. Off context. Press release, Beverly Hills, lunch snack, dietary.
I like you a lot.
Black diet Wendy's.
Go in, come on, you're great. This is great.
Linda Perry, Road Songs, Patty and Samantha, Women Give, Jessica Cincy, I'm Happy.
ABC, okay,
ABC.
There he is.
Divine bass players.